is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, episode 71. Hello, my friends. On every episode of Sonatotum, we talk about making stuff, finding success as we each define it for ourselves, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Who am I to be discussing such things? Well, I am a longtime indie author and publisher, since 2005 by some counts, since 1998 by other counts, since 1989 by still other measures. I have about 15 books on the market right now, and my day job is helping other authors and creative folks bring their creative endeavors to fruition, to market, and to an audience. I like to start every episode of Sonatotum talking about what's been going on in my creative life since the last time we spoke. Today is February 14th, 2023. Last time I was on the mic to you was, I think, exactly a week ago. And in that time, I released, of course, the last episode in which I announced the switch in my direct sales model to a pay what you want, name your own price approach, meaning that if you want to buy one of my ebooks and you do it through my site, mattselznick.com, you can pay whatever you want. There are recommended prices for each of the books, but you can pay as little as a dollar and as much as you want and or can. Whatever you think each one of these works of mine is worth, and whatever your particular ability and means are, that's what you can pay. I talked about why I'm doing this in the last episode, so you should go back to Sonatotum episode 70 and listen to that for all the details. And this week, in addition to being still kind of just fucking swamped by a client job that I did not anticipate would be as large as it is, as complex as it is, in addition to that kind of taking up most of my time and, you know, keeping up with my other client responsibilities, I spent whatever creative time I had on preparing the name your own price stuff for prime time. And that included, of course, changing every one of the 15 or so sales pages on my website over there at mattselznick.com/books. To include the pay what you want button. And also, this is brand spanking new on the website. I added a sample for each book. And this is on the actual book page for each book. If you go to mattselznick.com/books, click on any one of those book covers, it will bring you to that book's dedicated page. And there, right above the book cover on the book page, you can see the read a sample link, and that'll generate a little pop-up that will present not necessarily the beginning of each one of my books, but in many cases that is the case, but more importantly, a passage that I hope is interesting and indicative of the work as a whole and inspires someone, you perhaps, to click on the name your price button right there in the sample. So I did that, got that up and running, and I'm getting a little tired of reporting to you that I haven't done any writing. It's frustrating me. That and a few other things just in life in general have me, I'm in a slump. And since on every episode we rotate between talking about making stuff and finding success and staying healthy and sane in the process, this episode, it's the turn of staying healthy and sane. So I'm going to try to talk about this stuff and hopefully in a way that is useful and of value to you. Yeah. Oh, by the way, also, this is a car cast. I needed to get the hell out of the lush and lavish studios of MWS Media this morning. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, and I found myself just kind of walking in circles mentally and literally, and not really getting much done. And I need to get this podcast out. It's Tuesday. The podcast goes out on Wednesday, and time's a-wastin'. So I took off. I got in my car and drove over to a neighborhood park where I've done some park casts and walk casts and car casts. And yeah, I'm on the lavalier mic. If you notice things sounding a little different, I'm on the lavalier mic in the remote studio, which is, of course, my car sitting in the parking lot at this park. So having said that, let's proceed to the main topic, which is this week, all about staying healthy and sane while we try to build our creative writing life. In one of the writers' forums that I frequent, I saw a post that, boy, I could relate to and also kind of broke my heart. For me, this is going to fall under the heading of knowing what to do and maybe not having the capability or the tools or the presence of mind to do what we know we're supposed to do. And so this post that someone put up was asking the rest of us in the group how we avoided feeling less than or even angry or bitter when we see other writers, other creators having greater success than us. And I posted what I know to be true. I replied that it doesn't do us any good to compare ourselves to others. Everybody is running their own race. The person we should be comparing ourselves to is ourselves. Are we improving compared to where we were at yesterday or the week before or the month before or the year before? And honestly, the farther back you go, hopefully you can see that you are moving forward, that you are doing better than previously, that you are winning the race, the competition, if it's to be called such a thing, with yourself. And I thought about that after I posted it. I wasn't the only one to present similar advice, but I thought about it a lot because even though I talk about how numbers don't matter, even though I'm taking steps to diminish my focus on arbitrary yardsticks like number of sales per month, reviews, clicks, whatever, you know, it's really hard to truly feel like these things don't matter, to truly not let these things matter, to truly adjust one's perspective. And so while that particular person's post was about, shall we say, self-destructive tendency to compare oneself to others, I realized that my issue is really executing on the mental health practices that I know to be good, to be effective, to be worthwhile. So even though I want to have less reliance on things like sales, things like how many people opened something from my mailing list, how many of those people actually clicked on a thing that I wanted them to click, how many of those people took the action that I wanted them to take when they click on the thing, even though I know that I'm trying to not have those things be important, I find myself in need of validation in whatever form I can get it. And the deeper question is, why am I needing that in particular right now? And not examining that has been contributing to a little bit of a downturn. I've got some milestones this month, situations that I thought I would be able to rectify in the previous year that I haven't been able to do. When my mom died in 2019, I found myself desperately determined to, I don't know how else to put this, it sounds cruel, but to not end up like her. She found herself in a 25-year rut. And, you know, not everything was under her control. Some things were. And, you know, if you've had a parent die, and you're responsible for these things, then you end up going through all of their belongings. And I found so many things that pointed to the unrealized, unfulfilled, deferred artist in my mother. And I've talked and written in the past about my own realization that I have so many creative things I want to do, and the clock is ticking. I'm going to be 56 in a few months. That means that almost exactly, I have 25 years until I'm as old as my mother was when she died. And so since the summer of 2019, I've really been under this entirely self-imposed, I recognize this, incentive to be better about producing, about creating and shipping and finishing, which is fine. That can be very motivating, right? But this is real life. And I'm pretty sure all of us listening are adults who have adult lives with all of the attendant pressures and influences and responsibilities and obligations. And I'll speak for myself, but there are a great many things, logistical and psychological, interpersonal and emotional, that enable me to defer my creative work. And lately, it's been easier to focus on everything that I'm not getting done. To put it simply, I feel stuck. I feel as if I am in a situation financially and otherwise that I can't immediately, I don't see a way out in the near future. And money would solve much of it. Doing less for more would solve a lot of it. And simply being selfish would solve a lot of it. But what do we do when faced with the fact that we cannot change? You know what? No, I already know the answer to this. This is Stoicism 101. The advice, of course, is to not spend energy being anxious about, fretting about things that are out of our control, to only focus on the things that we have some agency in. And really what that comes down to is choice. And I'm going to say that if I really dig down, and maybe this, if you're in a similar situation, maybe this applies to you too. And I might have a little difficulty putting this into words. I'm sussing this out as we talk. It's not just a matter of making choices, of prioritizing one thing over another. It's a matter of convincing my brain that it's worthwhile. I guess that's grit, right? I guess that's the steadfast dedication to dedication. I don't want to pay attention to sales. I want to focus on the work. But because so many other things in my life are not satisfactory, because I'm not content when I don't have sales, when I don't get feedback, when I'm not validated in some way regarding my creative endeavors, when I'm not getting that validation, it's a negative feedback loop, I guess, because if I do the creative work and validation in whatever form continues to be lacking, then doing the creative work equals being disappointed, being hurt. Somehow I have associated creation with frustration. And so, yeah, I can certainly give the advice all day long. And the advice I give is valid and makes sense and probably works. I know it works for people. To quote Joe Fox from You've Got Mail, ask my advice. I'm great at advice. But I know the problem with myself. And that is that because I have this sort of core of dissatisfaction because of circumstances that are, for the moment, out of my control, everything else that could be nourishing and positive is tainted, has a negative connotation. It's easy for me to put on the podcaster cap, to get in front of this microphone, put on the headphones, and tell you what I think you should do, to share my experiences and impart upon you some sort of value, some sort of positive, actionable thing. It's performative to a degree, no matter how transparent and vulnerable and sincere I hope to be. The very act of talking into this microphone makes it a touch performative, which is to say that this is, no matter how personal I get with you, despite that, it's still in some ways a role that I'm adopting, which makes it easier to provide you with advice, to mentor you, to coach you, to share my experiences in a way that are hopefully teachable and actionable moments. But I'm not listening to myself. I don't know how to hear myself. More and more, and perhaps this is the actionable part, if you feel this way yourself, if you feel like creating, no matter how much you need to do it, no matter how much you want to do it, no matter what your grandiose hopes are, if you find yourself feeling dissatisfied, unhappy, even bitter, it's occurred to me multiple times over the last few months, at least, that I need a support circle, not a writing group, not a critique group, but a group to sit around and talk about their issues and challenges around the creative life. And I'm betting there are virtual platforms for this. I think I need to sit down with some actual people in an actual room, because honestly, social media, and I've talked about this before, social media is another form of performance. No matter how much we think we are being ourselves, online fora allow editing and censoring, self-censoring I'm talking about. They allow us to put our best or best worst, as the case may be, in the case of trolls, our best foot forward, our perfect face, you know? There's an imperfection and a spontaneity and a no-take-backs genuineness involved when you're sitting in a room with other people, not to mention micro gestures and micro expressions and pheromones and all the other cues and signals that we get from other humans when we're around other humans. I think that's what I need. And I think maybe that's, if you're experiencing this too, this vicious cycle, self-fulfilling blech. Maybe it's time to get in front of some people. To that end, baby steps, right? To that end, well, baby steps, but I took a gigantic step that frankly has me anxious. I committed to attending in person the Nebula Conference, the Nebula Awards Conference, because it's going to be in Anaheim, California this year in May, just about a half hour away from where I live. So no plane fare, right? But even though it's just a half hour away from where I live, conferences, conventions, the point of being there is not what happens on the convention floor. It's not what happens in the panels and conferences and whatnot. It's what happens in between. It's what happens in the bar, in the lounge, in the room parties. It's the informal interplay between people. So I went ahead and booked 4 nights of a hotel where the convention takes place. Hugely expensive. Money that I have no right. I put it on a credit card, but no right to put myself into that kind of debt. Because unless something completely unforeseen happens, I will not be earning that back in 2023. But I haven't been to one of these things since 2007, when I went to Balticon and DragonCon and Podcast Expo, all in the same period. So I took that step. I incurred that debt to be there in May. And as far as I know, no one that I already know personally or online will be there. And that's kind of the point. But I also think that I'm going to have to find some other in-person group that meets every week or every 2 weeks. And here's the contrary voice that kicks in when I think about this. If I make a commitment to show up for some sort of regular in-person group in my neck of the woods, that's going to take time away from other things. Oh no. And I'm already not writing. When am I going to write if I'm so busy with just barely keeping ahead with my day job and responsibilities of life, and I'm still not writing? Oh no, how am I going to write if I'm spending an hour or an hour and a half once a week hanging out with other people who have problems writing? But I think it's something that I need to do, because the problem is not that I'm not writing. The problem is that my head is fucked up. And my head is fucked up because I'm only really listening to myself, whether it's talking to you or offering advice and feedback on social media or staring at the ceiling in the moments before I fall asleep or wake up or standing in the shower. You know what I mean? I'm so in my own head right now. Look, we're writers. That's where we live, is in our own head. But if you find yourself kind of not so good in that space, get on out. And I know I've said a lot of me, I stuff in this sort of exploratory ramble, but it's likely that you have, or you are, or you will experience something similar. We're under a lot of pressure as creators, a lot of opposition when it comes to the validity of what we do. Spouses, partners, parents, siblings, they may not assign a value to what it is you do, because let's face it, what you do probably does not materially contribute. Most of us, as a rule, are not, let alone getting rich, we're not making a whole lot of money with our art. And so it's natural that the people in our lives are going to see that that time spent that isn't being spent in gainful employment or whatever it might be, hanging out with the kids or doing some housework, I don't know, whatever. It's your life, right? You know what I'm talking about. They're not going to see that stuff that we do as being as important as the stuff that they, air quotes, need, close air quotes, us to do. And I submit, very often, we put those same judgments regarding the validity of our creative endeavors. We put those same judgments on ourselves. We have to take a stand. And again, it's so easy to say, oh, well, you have to make choices and you have to prioritize and you have to make sacrifices. But sometimes the but why can be pretty damning when the response to but why is silence, or worse, tons of reasons why not. Just remember that what we do is adding to the culture. What we do is bringing some kind of emotional value. I say that a lot, value, 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 to others. Whether it's just plain popcorn entertainment or it's cathartic, what we do as creators, what we do as writers, is manipulate, in the best way, the thoughts and feelings of others at a distance of both actual distance and time. We can change lives. We do. But because of the nature of the medium, we almost never know that we have. So there's a lot running on faith. And it's far too easy to have crises of faith, especially when no one else is telling you that what you're doing matters, or worse, that implicitly or explicitly, people are telling you that what you're doing doesn't matter as much as these other things that others have put higher value on. I had to get out of my house today to record this because it's supposed to go out into the world tomorrow. And if I didn't record this, I knew it wouldn't get out into the world tomorrow, and I would have failed the commitment that I made, not just with you, but with myself. I haven't missed one of these episodes since I came back to regular podcasting, 9 months ago? So I'm sitting in this car doing it out of faith, because I would feel worse if I didn't. Don't forget, and as always, I'm speaking to myself and to you, dear listener, that what we do has merit and value and is integral, not just to our own health, but to the development of humanity. No, I'm serious. So find a way to get out of the funk. Find positive reinforcement wherever you can. For me, it's spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars to hang out with some people in a convention in May. For me, it's also going to be seeing if such a group of sort of writer's support exists, or maybe even creating it and trying to build it up. And at some point, it's got to mean actually writing. We'll get there, you and I. And don't forget to pay attention to incremental progress. Compare yourself to what you've done, not to what you haven't done, but what you've done. And find people who believe it, who believe in you and your work. Hey, if you've enjoyed this or any other episode of Sonitotum, I've got three things that I would love for you to do for me to help show your support for the show. The first thing is, if you haven't already, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, please subscribe for free to Sonitotum. Just click that subscribe button for Sonitotum wherever it is that you might have heard this episode, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Next, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, I hope you'll take just a moment to rate and review Sonitotum. Tell the world why you enjoy the show and why other people should listen to it and subscribe for free. And finally, if you'd like to go the extra mile, you have the will and the means, I hope you'll consider becoming a patron of Sonitotum and my other creative endeavors. For just $5 a month, not only will you be a member of the Multiversalists community of writers and readers and creators, you will receive all kinds of special access, perks, and exclusive content, not least of which is the uncut, unproduced edition of every episode of Sonitotum. Just go to mattselznick.com/b-a-patron or visit patreon.com/mattselznick and pledge just $5 a month to support the show through your patronage. That's it. If you can do one or two or all three of those things, you'll be really helping the show and helping me reach more people with the Sonitotum mission of making stuff, finding success, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Thanks. Folks, speaking of people who believe in me and my work, I must thank my Multiversalist member patrons: Amy Bowen, Chuck Anderson, J.C. Hutchins, and Ted Leonhart. You just heard how you can become a Multiversalist and join this small but mighty community of creators, readers, friends, and fans. Consider it. In addition, I would love, of course, right, your feedback on this or any episode of Sonitotum. You can visit mattselznick.com. This is Sonitotum episode 71. Click on podcast, find episode 71, and just get in there. You'll see the comment field at the bottom of the show notes. You can also email me at matt@mattselznick.com with your thoughts, or just record a little voice message on your phone, perhaps, and email that to matt@mattselznick.com. I'll play that in a future episode. I respond to all comments. I want to hear from you. What are you doing to push back the demons of your own self-doubt, of your own self-worth? How are you creating validation instead of seeking it? I'd love to hear from you. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.